I'm Rayburn Johnson.
And I'm Steve Sensenig.
Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Box.
Here's a chance to step outside the boundaries of institutional religion and explore the wide open spaces of our freedom in Christ.
We don't claim to have a corner on the truth, and a lot of what you will hear is just two guys thinking out loud.
So come on and join us as we journey Beyond the Box. Ray, welcome back for another week of Beyond the Box, buddy.
We're back.
Last week we talked about, we're just going to jump right back into it. We talked about taking the words of Jesus seriously and felt like
for
there
real?
Was a lot more.
No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
we felt like there was some more that we wanted to talk about that. And so we're going to kind of follow it up this week with a part two. I had a thought while we were talking, and this was a thought that I was talking about with Christy. You and I have both been on a very interesting journey, and we've talked a lot about that. We've actually shared our stories early on in the life of Beyond the Box. We often refer to this journey that we're on, and you've said it very well. You mentioned this last week that we're in process on a lot of things. We've rethought a lot of things. We've changed our perspective on a lot of things, and it's made things really interesting for us to rethink. But the thought that I had is, and you know, Ray, because you've seen me interact on some blogs and you've seen what's been said to me and about me. A lot of people think that our views on Scripture result in a very low view of Scripture.
Right.
Which I always find ironic because we're always referring to the Scripture to support our views.
We're always the ones going, now let's take the Scripture seriously here,
exactly.
People.
Exactly. And this is what it, you know, we're talking about taking the words of Jesus seriously. But here was the thought that I had. I never really put this together for myself. In Western Christianity, we are taught to value the Scripture so highly and to put it on such a pedestal. You know, I have seen people hold their Bible up in the air in the pulpit and say, this book is life to me.
Mm.
Which is really interesting because in that book, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
And so when we're talking about taking the words of Jesus seriously, what suddenly clicked for me is I have modified my view of Scripture by looking at what it is that we actually believe and what it is that really fits the testimony of Jesus and of Scripture to itself. We've modified our view of Scripture by putting it in what we believe is its proper place.
Right.
In doing that, it has caused me to look at the Scripture much more closely and to see what Jesus actually taught. And I have found, Ray, that in so many ways, we have completely ignored the teachings of Jesus and supplanted something else, whether it's the teachings of Paul or the councils of the church or the creeds and confessions that have been developed, the Chicago Statement on Inerrancy, you know, any Westminster Confession of Faith, any number of other teachings, Baptist, what do they call it?
Faith and message.
And so here, ironically, I'm taking a view of Scripture that a lot of people think should make Scripture much less reliable for me.
Right.
And in doing that, I have found a tremendous love for the teaching of Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
And my relationship with Jesus, my perspective on Jesus, my approach to what Jesus taught, my understanding of that, it has literally, Ray, and you've seen a lot of this lived out in our conversations, it has literally transformed my life.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just find that so ironic because we're so geared toward valuing the Scripture that in doing that, we don't even really know what the Scripture says.
Well, the problem is Scripture has been so identified with a particular interpretation or particular theological structure.
Right.
That the problem is most of the time it has nothing to do with us questioning Scripture.
Yeah.
It has everything to do with questioning someone's interpretation thereof.
That's well said.
And the problem is people begin to, because we've, it reminds me kind of like weaving or knitting or something like that. Erica's mom, my wife, her mother, she makes quilts.
Erica's mom is your wife?
Erica's mom, my wife, her mother. Okay. Please refer back to the Mormon episode once again. No, I'm just kidding. Let me rephrase that. My mother-in-law makes a lot of Afghans and quilts and all these kinds of things. And and I've got this one Afghan that I really love. It's in panther blue and gray. So I especially love it. But anyway, it's woven together with the blue and the gray threads just inseparable. They're just, you know, they're woven together really tight and just totally inseparable. The problem is, I think that's exactly what we've done with the creeds, the confessions. Like you said, the Chicago Statement on Inerrancy just 20 years ago. What we've done is we've woven an interpretation so tightly and closely to the Scripture, and then we've taught that interpretation as the Word of God. That what happens is when someone comes along and begins to question the interpretation, not even questioning Scripture, just taking Scripture seriously and saying, okay, because we're taking Scripture seriously, we have to question this interpretation. We have to be a good Berean, as Paul said. What begins to happen is, as they see that those threads unravel on the quilt or the Afghan of their faith, it gets really, really scary. And so people begin to vilify you, and people begin to come against you and what you're doing, because to them, you're not attacking an interpretation, or you're not questioning an interpretation. You're questioning Jesus and the Bible itself.
Yeah.
And that's really scary for people. And I understand why it would be scary if that's what we were doing.
Well, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
That's not what we're doing.
That's not what we're doing, exactly, because we're not questioning Jesus. I have, I've really come to appreciate, I mentioned in the last episode, Stephen Mitchell, which I've not actually read any of his stuff. I've only read about his stuff, which is, you know, about as good as a lot of people are with the Bible. But anyway, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have gone there. But guys like Stephen Mitchell, and another one that intrigues me right now is Bart Ehrman, who has also written some books. And Bart is a professor of religious studies at UNC Chapel Hill, NCAA basketball.
That has to mean that he's good.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, I mean, Tar Heel and theology, you know, what could be better?
I mean, come on.
But anyway, you know, Bart's taken a lot of heat from evangelicals because he used to be an evangelical Christian. He used to subscribe to the Chicago Statement on Inerrancy and et cetera. And he began to ask some of these same questions. Now, Bart has taken a direction, Mr. Ehrman, I should say Dr. Ehrman probably, has taken a direction that seems to border on skepticism and cynicism, from what I can gather. And I've read a little bit of his writing. But the point that I want to make is he basically started by saying, why aren't people paying attention to the Bible that they claim to value so much?
Right.
Why aren't people... And he would ask questions of a textual criticism nature, and the response that he would get is, you know, something akin to, oh, I suppose you don't believe in the resurrection. Which, you know, you and I have discussed that before with regard to one's view of creation, that there are people who will say, if you don't believe in a literal six-day young earth creation, that you probably don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Or, that is utter nonsense.
Or another perfect example that I'm seeing a lot of right now is, you know, the atonement. The atonement is so central to our faith, and it's such a vital part of what you and I both believe. But lately, I think, I know, I'm sure you have, and I know I've been reading a tremendous amount about the atonement and listening about it and just studying it and really trying to get to the heart of it. And the more I do that, the more I'm questioning things like the idea that penal substitution is the primary way that we understand the cross. Well, when you begin to do that, there's all sorts of people that come out of the woodwork that say, well, if you don't hold to the interpretation of the atonement that leads to penal substitution, then you are denying the efficacy of Jesus's death on your behalf. And to me, it's like, come on, people. If we're going to take the words of Jesus seriously, here's what it means for me. It means that we are going to wrestle with those words.
Yeah.
We're going to squeeze them. I mean, I imagine it's like a washcloth after you get out of the shower, you know, and you wring that thing out and you're trying to get all the water out of it.
Right.
That's what I see. I mean, I find myself reading books by everybody from, you know, one side of Christendom to the other.
Right.
Not because I'm just trying to, you know, become ecumenical.
Yeah.
But because I'm trying to squeeze every bit of meaning out of what Jesus said. And to me, it cheapens it. It cheapens the words of Jesus, and it cheapens the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus to just simply embrace what we've received simply because it's been taught to us as the truth without actually looking into it for ourselves. I mean, if we really value the words of Jesus that highly, it seems to me that we want to plumb them and dig in them and you know, plumb the depths of who he was in order to really be a disciple.
Do you think maybe that's what Paul was talking about? I think it's Paul that said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah.
For it's God who's
at work in you.
Right.
It's not, you know, some denomination or some theologian that's at work in you. It's God who's at work in you.
Right. And there is a sense in which each person has to own it. You know, I have, as you know, a 16-year-old son, and we have been pretty upfront with him about the fact that, well, number one, the things, the journey that we've been on, that Christy and I have been on, that you've been a part of, Ray, you know, we've been really upfront with Dylan about that, and he knows the questions that we're asking, and he sees some of the frustration as we work through some of these issues. But I've been really upfront with him about the fact that I do not expect him to believe something just because I believe it.
Yeah.
That he needs to own his own faith. We cannot afford as Christians to just rest on someone else's coattails.
Yeah.
To simply, you know, faith of my fathers. there is a tradition, there's a heritage there, but what really brings us into intimacy with the Father is our own relationship with him based on our understanding and our faith. And that's part of what we were talking about in terms of not judging other people. I'm not asking people to believe exactly like I believe. I don't talk about stuff. You and I don't talk about stuff on Beyond the Box just to get people to believe the same thing we believe.
Right.
But to get other people to ask themselves the same questions we've been asking.
Well, I think we want it to be an impetus for people to say, why do I believe what I believe?
Right.
And to see that even if they don't agree with what we're saying, that there are other avenues.
Yeah.
In this walk with Christ, you know, because
it's kind of a two-pronged approach. We're trying to stir other people into asking questions themselves, but we're also trying to promote a sense of peace, if you would, and understanding of people who are at different points of their journey.
Well, and you know, the comments section of Beyond the Box, you know, it's, for me, it's all about promoting dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that we can talk in a safe environment, we can talk about things that maybe we differ on in a way that's peaceable, in a way that's edifying, you know, where people can, if they hear something that we say on the show, they can go, man, that is so far off base. I've got to throw a comment on there.
Yeah.
And then instead of just, you know, having a drive-by shooting of comments where somebody just comments and then leaves just to, you know, air their frustration, we're able to actually engage that and say, well, you know what? I see some value in what you're saying.
Right.
Or, wow, that's really, you know, that I really don't understand that. Could you tell me more?
Yeah.
But we're all going to grow if we simply will, you know, once again, go back to that hermeneutic of love and say, you know what? There's a ton I don't understand. Cause honestly, Steve, the more I go down this journey, the more questions I have. It feels like maybe the fewer answers and the more questions and embracing that and realizing that doesn't mean I'm embracing skepticism or cynicism. It just means that I'm serious about my faith, and I'm not willing to just, like you said in a blog post a long time ago, I'm not willing just to embrace whisper down the lane theology, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so often the case, you know, that we just hear things from other people and we go, oh, that must be true. It's kind of like, I remember, and I've probably shared some of this in the past as I've shared my story. It was 1999 was a big changing point in my life for me. It was a low point in some regards because I was going through a divorce. But it also was a point in my life where I really began to pursue Jesus for me, for my own relationship, not based on my upbringing or based on anybody else, but I wanted to know Jesus.
Right.
You know, as Paul says, I want to know Jesus and him crucified. That was kind of my turning point in life. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in church from day one. I was sitting in church, 5 years old, you know, walked down the aisle. I did all the good evangelical Christian stuff. And in a lot of ways, had a lot of people and myself very fooled into thinking that I was a very godly person.
Hmm.
But it really wasn't until about the age of 30 that, which is kind of funny because that's when Jesus started his ministry. that's where the parallel ends right there. at the age of 30, we're talking, you know, 10 years ago now, that I finally said, okay, and I literally, you know, fell to my knees and said, God, I've made a mess of this. If there's any way that you and I can start over, that's what I want to do. There was a hunger in me at that point, Ray, to really begin to search the scripture for myself. And I'm a graduate of a Bible college with ironically, a BS degree in Bible.
you can make we'll of that. We'll let you guys figure out what that means.
Yeah, you run with that however you want to in the comment section. I'm sure Sid would agree heartily with that acronym. I love you, Sid. I had also attended seminary for a while, working on my master's of theology, which I never did complete. Anyway, all that to say, I had studied, I thought, the Bible for a long time. And so I began reading it almost like it was the very first time. And I found that there were a lot of things that even after having been through basically about 7 years of theological training plus an upbringing in church, things that I thought were in there weren't.
Mm.
And, you know, it was like I was convinced that there was a verse at the end of the book of Acts that said, and all these things stopped when the apostles died.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I really thought that that was in there somewhere. And I remember reading through the book of Acts because I had gotten involved in a Pentecostal church. And so I was asking a lot of questions about gifts of the Spirit and miracles, et cetera, things that were just so foreign to me. Excuse me. And I read through the book of Acts. And I got to the end of it, and I just was flabbergasted.
Mm.
Because it doesn't end. The book of Acts just, it leaves you hanging.
I think that's the
Paul's
whole point.
Paul's in house arrest waiting for a trial. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, in fact, there's a network of churches here in the United States called the Acts 29 Network. There's only 28 chapters in Acts.
Mm.
Basically, the idea that, you know, we're living the continuation of the book of Acts.
Yeah.
Ironically, some people in that are cessationists. But anyway. Why do I always point these things out?
Well, it is. It's ironic.
It is ironic, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's ironic.
Apparently, Acts 29. That's where that verse is that I was looking for in Acts 29. But anyway, that's just one example of where I began to look at this for myself. And that really set into motion a process that would start to really take hold of me about 5 years later, when I began to then question the very institution that I had been a part of my whole life.
Yeah.
I say all that to basically reiterate the point that we've been making, that at some point we've got to start taking these words seriously.
Yeah.
We've got to start saying, okay, you know, it's enough. It's not enough to say, I don't think that's what Jesus meant. If you're not prepared to answer the question, what do you think he did mean?
Yeah, that's the thing is we've got to... You know, to me, it's a very, very healthy exercise when we begin to actually wrestle with the words of Jesus, because mm-hmm. I'm convinced that unless the words of Jesus at some point in our life deeply offends us and offends our sensibilities of what it means to live in this world as a child of God, until we get to the place where, at least in some point in our lives, what Jesus says actually offends us, mm-hmm. we probably have never heard him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's kind of like what he says, where he says that his words, not because of, you know, not because of in his own intention,
right,
but that his words will actually divide households.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think he's saying that what the message I'm telling you is going to be so radical. The kingdom of God is so topsy-turvy and so upside down.
Right.
That if you really embrace this life I'm calling you to, mm-hmm. you're going to look crazy. You're going to look like an idiot.
Yeah.
There's going to be times when you're going to have to do some things that absolutely make no sense to anybody else.
Right.
And until we, I'll be honest with you, if I can just, you know, maybe I'm going a little bit far here, but I just think we have
that's
totally
never stopped us before.
Well, yeah, really. Well, we're beyond the box, aren't
yeah.
we? Honestly, I think that we have totally, well, I won't say the metaphor that was coming to my mind, but we have stripped the words of Jesus.
Yeah.
We accuse people like, you know, you mentioned either in this episode or the last episode about Thomas Jefferson.
Right.
You know, we accuse people like him of stripping the words of Jesus and the gospel of Christ of anything miraculous.
Right.
But the truth is, we do the same thing all the time.
Yeah.
We strip the words of Jesus of their value, of their passion.
Yeah.
And of their true intention, which is to cut to the heart of all the idolatry that we've embraced by tying ourselves to the kingdom of this world.
Oh, wow.
And he's called us to be an alien in this world,
mm-hmm.
and to do things a totally different way.
Yeah.
That's radical. And I think until we view Jesus and really get a hold of the radical mm-hmm. nature of the kingdom of God, then really we're not reading Jesus.
Right.
You know, we're reading a bedtime story that's been, you know, G-rated to for public consumption. We're not reading Jesus.
Well, and here's part of the irony too, Ray, in my mind, is you've probably heard the phrase, I've heard this many times, the hard sayings of Jesus.
Yeah.
People want to talk about the statements of Jesus that seem really difficult to understand. My frustration is, we haven't dealt with the easy sayings of Jesus.
Actually, I'm finding that the things that they put in those hard sayings books maybe are the easier things to understand. And the things that, to me, it's like, it's that whole thing of Jesus talking about the mustard seed kingdom, you know?
Yeah.
It's the really small, insignificant things
right.
that are the life-changing, world-shaping teachings that he did. I mean, like the whole thing we talked about a couple of weeks ago with love your enemies.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds so simple on the surface.
Right.
But then you look at Christianity as a whole, and we have 2,000 years that prove we don't know how to do that.
Yeah. And what do you do with that? I mean, this is why I really want to continue to challenge our listeners to go beyond the point of saying, I don't think that's what Jesus meant.
Yeah.
And to begin to really wrestle with them. Like you said, if we take the words of Jesus seriously, and this is what has, I mean, I could sit here and list a lot of the changes that have taken place in my life as a result of falling in love with the teaching of Jesus and deciding to really be a Jesus follower, not just a Christian. But that's really not even the point, because I don't want to make it sound like I'm bragging about things that have happened in my life.
Right.
But, I mean, really, you just have to take my word for it. And you know, Ray, some of the more personal stuff, too, that has just totally transformed my whole way of thinking.
Yeah.
That things that used to be such a passionate pursuit of mine no longer matter in light of the kingdom of God.
Right.
You know, things that really I thought were of value are so insignificant now. And, you know, my wife and I are really, in a sense, devoting our life to trying to live out the kingdom by touching a few lives very significantly.
Yeah.
You know, we are loving the fatherless by taking foster children into our home and adopting them whenever possible. You know, we are that passionate about living out what Jesus talked about. And I, again, I don't want to sound arrogant when I say that. And I really hope that people hear my heart. I'm not bragging, y'all. Really
right.
Understand this. I'm just saying that when we take the words of Jesus seriously, it will impact our life. It will change us because, as you mentioned, the kingdom is so completely topsy-turvy from the world. It's almost like matter and antimatter. You know, one antimatter, if it comes in contact with matter, will destroy the matter completely. I mean, it will just annihilate it. The kingdom of God, when it comes in contact with the kingdom of the world, if we allow it to have its necessary and desired impact, it will destroy our kingdom.
But yeah,
that's,
it will.
That's like the beautiful thing of it, is that we're left with something so much better.
Well, it's that thing that Jesus says about, you know, everything that, or not Jesus, one of the disciples, everything that can be shaken will be shaken.
Mm-hmm.
And then the only things that will be left is what can't be shaken. I mean, the only things that remain are what's solid and foundational. And, you know, I'm finding that in both of our lives that God is shaking all the stuff that's just man-made religion.
Yeah.
And we're being left with just the basic core of what it means to walk with Jesus, which I'm finding the basic core is way more radical than all the deep teachings I used to seek.
Yeah.
I used to seek all the deep things of God, you know? Yeah. And I'm finding that more and more that stuff's just a distraction.
Yeah. It is. Well, and that's what I was saying about the so-called hard teachings of Jesus. You know, we want to wrestle with these deep theological subjects of, you know, what does it really mean for God to be sovereign? And what does it really mean if we're elect? And, you know, I just don't see that being the focus of Jesus or the apostles in their follow-up ministry to his life. You know, it's like when somebody would come to them and say, you know, what do I need to do? How do I respond to this? Is a belief.
Yeah.
Just put your trust in Jesus. That's it. They didn't give them a theological quiz. They didn't hand them Wayne Grudem's systematic theology book and tell them to read it.
Right.
They didn't. Well, of course, it wasn't around then. But anyway, you know what I mean? the equivalent of, you know, whatever the first century equivalent of Wayne Grudem's systematic theology was. They didn't, you know, tell them, well, you need to come attend discipleship 101 class. It was such a simple. You know, and Paul said, this is what I delivered unto you, that he was crucified, he was buried, and he raised again.
Well,
that's it.
The truth is, I don't know that we really understand what it means to simply be Jesus, to be the body of Christ on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it is such a radical thing when Jesus says, if you love each other, then the world will know that I'm the Son of God and that you're my disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Then the world will come to believe me. Because we've tried to convince the world with apologetics.
Yeah.
We've tried to convince the world with our nice airtight doctrine. And basically, Jesus is saying the thing that's going to convince the world is your self-sacrificial love on behalf of each other and of your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's saying, I mean, I look at someone like Mother Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Mother Teresa and I would differ so much on theology, it probably wouldn't even be funny.
Yeah.
But I look at someone like that, and you know what? All those theological differences just melt in light of looking at someone who lived her life for other people.
Yeah.
In looking at someone that, you know, lived in like a 12 by 12 room. Mm-hmm. So that she could give everything she had to help those that Jesus talked about, the marginalized, the down and out, the poor, the hurting, the broken, the sick, the needy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, she poured out her life to be Jesus's hands and feet to the world. And I love something she said. There's a great quote by her I read somewhere. It says that she basically said that I am simply a pen in the hand of a God who's writing a love letter to the world.
Mm.
And I thought, you know, that's what I want to be.
Yeah.
I don't, when I leave this life, I don't want to be known as the guy who, you know, was a great teacher or a great expositor of the Bible, you know, or a great theologian or had a
podcast co-host
or a great podcast co-host or a great whatever.
Yeah,
I want to be known as someone who is faithful in allowing God to write his love letter to the world through me.
Which in some ways is to say, I don't want to be known.
Bingo.
I want him to be known. everything that I accomplish.
Isn't that the job of disciples, is to make him known?
Well, it's like John the Baptist made the comment that John the Baptist needed to decrease so that Jesus could increase. I almost got that one backwards, too. that he needed to decrease so Jesus could increase. And that, you know, I talked earlier about at the top of this episode of the discussion that Christy and I had about my view of Scripture and what that has accomplished in me. I needed to decrease Scripture so that Jesus could increase.
Mm.
I needed to decrease my own claim to theology so that Jesus could increase. And to the extent that, you know, we get back to that, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. To the extent in which we let ourselves be hidden in Christ, then we begin to live out the very things that he taught. And it's not rocket science. It's not extremely difficult to do. It begins to just fall into place. I find following the teachings of Jesus to be extremely... I want to use the word natural, although in a sense it's supernatural. But, you know, you understand what I'm saying. When you begin to walk in that kingdom mentality, it becomes second nature.
Well, I think at this point, this is a good opportunity to say, you know, with what you're saying about it becoming natural, I think a lot of people, this episode and the episode before last week's episode, I think a lot of people could hear that stuff and begin to put themselves under condemnation and guilt because they're not where they want to be. But let me just say this. You can't should yourself into living what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You can't guilt yourself or condemn yourself into living the life that Jesus called us to live.
Mm-hmm.
I think what has to happen is the truth of who Jesus was has to capture our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he captures our hearts, then it's not about trying to make ourselves give our lives away or trying to make ourselves walk in self-sacrificial love. It becomes something that we desire and are unwilling to do without. But I know for me, the biggest temptation for years, I would hear people, you know, whatever the latest teaching was or whatever it was that God expected of me.
Yeah.
And I would hear how somebody else had maybe gotten a revelation on that and were walking in that. And I would try and should myself into doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, I would end up making myself miserable and walking in condemnation and not receiving the love of God.
Right.
And until we receive the love of God, we can't give it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's true. Well, Ray, somehow you always manage to come up with these great final thoughts. and I have to say, not just because of the time on the clock, but I think that's a great place to leave it, because the message that you and I have been trying to put out for the last, 10 months?
Yeah, we're coming up on a year here.
Yeah, is that we should have a big, online celebration or something. But the message that we've
That was my faux... What are those little things you blow on, you know?
Yeah, those little whistler things.
My faux whistler, yeah.
That was not a bad impression of a whistler either.
Okay, sorry.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Do it one more time? There we go. Okay.
That was the best one yet.
Yeah, that's right. I figured if I gave you one more shot at it. But basically, you know, the message that we have tried to convey to people is, you know, we talk in our intro about the exploring the wide open spaces of life in Christ. There is such a freedom and such an openness in life in Christ.
Yeah.
That if you're still trapped in that should have mentality or should condemnation, then you have no clue how much is available out there in terms of just free space to run and jump and live life tremendously.
Well,
enjoy.
And I have to say for myself, part of getting to the place that I feel like I'm getting to now came with having to have a time of detoxing myself from institutionalism.
Yeah.
So if you're going through that process and you're listening to us, don't feel like, oh my gosh, here I am. I'm not doing what I need to be doing or, you know, I don't have, some people would just say, Ray, if I'm honest, I don't have a desire to give my life away like you're talking about.
Right.
That's okay. If that's where you're at, that's totally okay. Mm-hmm. And you need to be at peace with that and realize that sometimes God has to do surgery on us and remove the yucky stuff before we can start getting into a healthy life. You know, sometimes the cancer has to be taken out before you can live healthy and begin to be a productive citizen again.
But he is the great physician.
And he'll do it. He'll do it every time.
Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature, a new creation.
And we've talked, I think, before. In Christ equals new creation.
Equals, exactly.
I like the way you say that.
There's no verb in the Greek there. It's just in Christ, new creation.
I love how you say that. I think that's a great, that's a great equation. One I want to live my life by.
Thank you so much for joining us, Ray. This has been a fantastic two-parter. I've enjoyed it. I hope we have many, many more opportunities to talk about these topics. Those of you that are listening, we welcome your comments. BeyondTheBoxPodcast.com. If you're listening to us through iTunes or some other venue, you may not actually know where our website is. Don't go to BeyondTheBox.com. That's something completely different. I think it's a graphic design company or something. BeyondTheBoxPodcast.com, or if that's too many letters, you can type BeyondTheBoxBlog.com and you'll get to the same spot. But we love y'all for listening. Thank you, and look forward to getting your comments. Ray, my man, have a terrific week.
You too, my brother.
You're a blessing, man, and I really enjoy doing this podcast with you.
I feel the same way. Bless all you guys out there. Enjoy your week.
Take care.